I want to take an unusual story this morning to talk about in Mother's Day, to celebrate mothers. And if you have a Bible, please open to Judges chapter 4 and 5. We'll look at those two chapters. If you've got our app, of course, it's all on that. All the notes are on that. And I wanted to contrast today two mothers. One is a mother in Israel. Her name is Deborah. And the other one is a mother of a general. Her name, we don't get her name, but her son's name was Sisera. So it's Sisera's mum. One was a mother in Israel. The other was a pagan general's mother. Now, a second grade teacher gave a lesson to her class one day, and the lesson was on magnets. And the very next day she thought, I'm going to test them on this. So she said, we've got a test. And the very first question on the test was this: what starts with M and has six letters and picks things up? And more than half the kids wrote mother, not magnet. You see, mothers have a greater role than you realize. They sort of sneak up on you a little bit somewhere. You know, we take our mothers for granted a lot of times. But they are nurturers, they are carers. They're in fact leaders, both in the home and beyond. I say they're leaders. I really believe they are. John Maxwell and other great teachers on leadership have said this: leadership is not about position or wealth or power. It's about influence. Great leaders are people of influence, not just because they've got a position or a bit of money behind them. Great leaders, it's about influence. That's why William Ross Wallace said this: the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. What does he mean by that? It means that if you are a mother, you can influence your child to become someone great. The hand that rocks the cradle is the one that ultimately rules the world. So even if you do not have children, as a woman, you still have influence, amazing influence, and an influence that this world desperately needs. Trust me, this world is a mess and we need mothers and women to stand up. So today we're going to look at probably one of the most incredible women in the Bible and most influential, and then the other mother as well. So if you've got Judges chapter 5, verse 7, it says this: the villages ceased in Israel. They ceased until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. So let me talk a little bit about Deborah. Deborah, first of all, she received a word. It says in Judges 4, listen to what it says, verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, she was a prophetess. She was a woman and she was a prophet. The wife of Lebadoth was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. You see, before Israel had a king, they had what were called judges. These were wise, mostly men. This is a woman in the position. But they were people who would actually pass judgment. They were like a prime minister. Yes, you are allowed to have women prime minister. How many of you know that? We've had one. Let's not go there. But we have had. But essentially, she was playing that role. She was a religious leader, but she was also a political leader as well. And at a time when there was great fear and turmoil in Israel between 1209 and 1169 BC. Now, the situation here that Deborah moved into, they had had 80 years of peace. For 80 years, they had prospered. And so everybody forgot what it was like to suffer. But then all of a sudden, they turned from God to idols, and a judgment was brought down on them. And there were these dudes called the Canaanites who had a big army and 900 chariots. That's like a bunch of tanks. And they were terrified of these guys, and they began oppressing the people. So Deborah was smart, strong, and confident. But more than that, she actually heard from God. She heard from God, and she governed the people the way God showed her. So she listened, and she obeyed. She might have had a mother's heart, but she also had to have a strong steel-plated backbone if she was to rescue her beloved people. Sort of the, you know, iron fist in a velvet glove sort of thing. So mums have to be compassionate and kind and gentle, but they also have to be strong. Do I hear an amen to that? A few of you agree. Not so sure. I believe that now more than ever in our society, we need mothers who hear from God and who stand for the truth. Don't you? Mothers are still the most influential people around. They really are. In an age where in our society right now, where a child can simply state that they identify as a boy or a girl or a cat or a fence post. And I'm amazed that some mothers just say, oh, yes, of course you are, dear. I read one mother who wrote, if my teenage son thinks he's a cat, then he really is a cat. No, he's not. Do a DNA test. You'll figure it out. He's not feline. Right? Today we need mothers who hear from God and stand for the truth. Is that true? And really, in our society today, truth is relative today. Have you heard that expression? Truth is relative. Your truth is different to my truth. Look, if your truth is different to my truth, then somebody's truth is not truth. Because truth has to be true no matter what happens. If it was true yesterday and it's not true now, it was never truth. Because truth is truth. And if it's not truth, it's not truth. So don't say, oh, I've got a different truth to you. No, you don't. One of us does not have truth. Or even both of us. And to quote a song that I wrote called Cat, about this whole situation, if truth can morph and change depending on my moods, then it never was truth in the first place. See, if you think you've got truth, but then you have a bad day and your truth changes, you didn't have truth. Because truth is absolute. It has to be absolute. It cannot apply sometimes and not other times. But we live in a world where I believe mothers need to be brave enough to stand up and say, this is what truth is. And many mothers are not that brave anymore. If you are a mother, I hope you spend time in the Word of God because it gives you an amazing advantage in bringing up your kids. Listening to God and applying godly wisdom as you bring up your children is the most important thing because then they will become successful, prosperous adults instead of 30-year-old pseudo felines. See, God instructed Joshua, back in the book of Joshua, kind of the original judge, really, back then, he instructed Joshua this. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything according to what is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and successful. Who wants prosperous and successful kids? Who wants a prosperous, successful family? The Word of God is the way to go. If you take the Word of God and all of its truth and apply it, it doesn't change. One of the accusations that people make, they say, the problem with you Christians is you look at society through the Bible. You don't look at the Bible through society. I say, yes, thank you. Amen. I'll take it. Because if you look at the Bible through society's eyes, it changes every 2 minutes. What used to be truth 10 years ago is now no longer truth because you're looking at it through society. But if we look at society through the Bible never changes. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. And it applies, it has applied for centuries and it continues to apply now, even when we think we're so cool, the human being is the only species on earth that can't tell the difference between a male and a female. Every other species can, we can't figure it out. But it remains truth. It has always been truth. So if you want to hear from God and if you want prosperity and success in your parenting, read the Word of God, come to church. Even better, share the Word of God with your kids as a parent. Moses taught the people in Deuteronomy 6, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You don't have to get all super Spiro and the kids. Let us pray, you know. Let us open the Word of God. You don't have to do that. Just talk about it. Fiona and I often sit around and we're having, you know, coffee or we're having lunch together and we'll discuss whatever the Bible reading plan dished up for that day. And we talk about what's going on. We talk about things that are happening around. We share the Word of God with each other because it's a great way to live your life. And it's truth, folks. It's not changing every 2 minutes. As Deborah was a leader and a prophetess, mums, you can be the same in your home. You can be the voice of God in your family. So invest your time wisely into your family and into God's family. And if you don't have a family, if you don't have kids, then you can be a leader and a prophetess to people in the family of God. Why not be words of wisdom? I mean, some people say just the dumbest things. How many of you know that? And sometimes we say that we don't even think about it. I was reading this morning about a little 4-year-old boy who came to his dad and he said, Dad, I know who I want to marry. He said, who's that? He said, I want to marry Grandma. She's a great cook. We love each other. It'll be perfect. And the dad said, well, I don't think you can do that because you can't marry her. She's my mum. And he said, well, you married my mum. Maybe we don't know so much. Anyway, the second thing that Deborah did was she relayed the word. She calls her favourite general, his name is Barak, and she relays God's word to him about taking on the enemy Sisera, who served a guy called Jabin, who was a king of Canaan. The word she relayed was to fight and to fight hard because in the Lord he will win. This is what she said. Well, what it says in Judges 4, she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam of Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather the men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun, and I will draw Sisera out, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Man, them's farting words. So, you know, this mother in Israel calls Barak into action, but she's also going to be actively involved in the battle. And mums, you cannot abdicate responsibility to somebody else to teach your children. We live in a world where they want you to do that. They want especially a secular group like a state school or a university to teach your kids morals. Listen, mums, don't let somebody else do that job. It's really important. Even if you do influence them in a positive way, the school and stuff is going to influence them the other way. But don't just leave it up to them. You should be actively involved in leading and guiding and fighting for your children. Fight in prayer for them and proclaim truth and righteousness to them. But Barak has reservations. He said, well, I know you said I'm going to go down there and I'm going to win, but I'm not. You know, Deborah says, has not the Lord commanded you? And he says, I'm not so sure about this. He said, I'll only go if you come with me. So he was a bit hesitant. He was a bit unsure. So she answered him, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So mothers, let me ask you, honestly, how many times have you given godly advice and the kids have said, yes, mum, and not done it? Has that ever happened to you? Yes. How many times have you listened to your mum and not done what she said? Because even though it was wise. You know, when I was 16, I thought my mother knew nothing. Nothing. By the time I was 19, I was amazed at what she'd picked up in 3 years. It's incredible. So sometimes mothers have godly wisdom. And God gives a healthy level of wisdom to mums. In fact, my kids were convinced growing up that that their mum, Fiona, had eyes in the back of their head. Because she could, whatever they did, they knew she knew. It was like an intuition. It was like a gift. And also, their mum is a psychotherapist, which is scary because there's more psycho than therapy in some of that stuff. But she is really right on the money and not much gets past her. I said in the earlier service, you know, I get up in the morning and I say, good morning, sweetheart. How am I feeling today? Because I don't know. I'm a man. I can't feel, you know, I'm kind of like, ugh. And see, as mothers, you can have access to supernatural wisdom from God. One mother showed great wisdom. This is an example of great motherly wisdom. Someone came to her and said, if you can't find the children, particularly the teenagers in the home, how do you find them? She says, it's easy. Turn off the Wi-Fi, they'll be there in less than 30 seconds. And that is so true. So there's a hint for you mums. Turn off the Wi-Fi and see what happens in your house. Sorry, kids. Sorry. But mums, actually, they develop an incredible source of wisdom, and even especially more so when you think that the words of wisdom come from the source of wisdom, which is God himself. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So mums, if you want to have wisdom when it comes to the life of your children, get into the word of God. This is wisdom. And when you put it in your spirit, you'll be surprised at some of the things that come out of your mouth that are reflective of that. The third thing is, Deborah encourages with a word. Judges 4, verse 8, Barak says to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she realized she had a general who was actually a little bit hesitant. Kind of, you know, he was sort of saying, yes, I agree. But underneath his armor, his knees were going like Elvis Presley. He was shaking because he was scared. It was a difficult situation. So this mother in Israel realized she needed to use words of encouragement to encourage a hesitant general. And mums, that's what your words should do. They should encourage those around you, especially your kids. You see, the words we use can build up or destroy. They can bring people, you know, closer to success, or you can cut them down. And don't blame anybody else, because what comes out of your mouth ultimately is what you produce. You can control that. You know, the Bible says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire is. Great forest is set on fire by a small spark, and your tongue can be the spark that creates a destructive force, or your tongue can be used to build up your kids and your family. Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as helpful for building up as fits the occasion. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So mums, I want to encourage you to always have an encouraging word for your kids. Many mums, you just get so frustrated with them, don't you? Does anyone get frustrated with their kids? Look, three of you, three mums. All right, four. Four mums get frustrated with the kids. The rest are angels. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, a four-year-old asks thousands of times a day, why? Why? I mean, it's the worst world in the world, worst word in the world, don't you think? Why? Why? Exactly right. I teach people, when you go overseas, the only word you need to learn in another language is why. Keeps the conversation going for hours. And they keep asking you, don't have to understand, just pourquoi, you know, you just ask why. So sometimes kids can really frustrate you, but I want to encourage you, mums, use your words for encouragement to build them up, not bring them down. You can build up or destroy by words that you say. And I meet people all the time that are still suffering in their 70s and 80s over words that were spoken to them when they were 10. We see this in inner healing all the time. So be careful, mums, with the words that you use, because your words can build up or they can destroy. It's your choice. You should choose wisely. Next, Deborah praises with a word. See, Deborah was not only a great leader, inspiring her nation to fight and win a key battle against a skillful enemy, but she was also a godly woman, and everybody knew it. She was a prophetess. She was a judge. But she was a very godly person. She wrote a song of victory. Judges 4 is the details of what happened. Judges 5 is her song of victory. And she wrote this incredible song of victory, praising God. See, mums, when your children look at you, do they see someone who praises God, even in the tough times? Or do they find someone who is actually negative all the time? You know, some people I talk to, some mums I know, are just really negative. Everything you say, they can find a problem to every solution. You suggest a solution, they've always got a problem. And so I want to say, mums, make sure that you have words of praise. You're praising. You're looking at the positive things in life, not at the negative things all the time. Deborah praises the Lord for raising up people to stand with her in Judges 5:2. The leaders took the lead in Israel, and the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. So she's writing this song of celebration because the people stood with her. Then she praises God. The mountains quake before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. She praises God for all of these wonderful things, and she praises God for the actions of a woman called Jael, whose husband was aligned with the Canaanite king Jabin. But this particular woman wanted to serve the Lord. Now, if you don't know the story, it is well worth reading the story in Judges chapter 4. But what actually happened was they had a big battle, and the Israelites were winning the battle, and the Sisera, the leader of the bad guys, was thrown out of his chariot, and he ran away. And he was looking for a place a place where he could sort of get some safety. So he's run away, and he says to himself, oh, I know this guy over here. He supports my king. I'll go there. I'll be safe there. And he goes there and he meets this woman, Jael. And she says to him, oh, come on in. He says, can I find safety here? Yeah, come on in. He says, I'm thirsty. Could I have a drink of water? She says, no, have some milk. Look, she's really lavishing on him. And then she says, lie down here. He said, I'm tired. She says, lie down here. I'll put these covers over you. If anyone asks where you are, I won't tell them you're there. You know, and he's thinking, this is brilliant. I'm in this safe place. So he lies down. He goes to sleep. And what he doesn't realize is that Jael is actually supporting the Lord. So while he's asleep, she very calmly gets up, gets a tent peg and a hammer, and something entered Sisera's brain that he'd never thought about before. And it was a tent peg. And so that's the story. And so let's see what Deborah sings about it. This is a great song. Most blessed of women in BJL, the wife of Heber the Canaanite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. Between her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, he fell dead. What a great song. Woohoo! So she killed the enemy. As Deborah had predicted, she predicted that Barak would win, but he wouldn't get the honor of destroying his enemy. That went to a woman, just as she had predicted. So Deborah sings a song of triumph, praising God, but also praising the key players. Deborah was the leader, the instigator, the one who made it happen, but she wasn't frightened to praise others and ultimately give her praise and allegiance solely to the Lord. So mums, you should be singing your child's praises, shouldn't you? Sometimes we look at our kids and they'll let you down, or they'll upset you or make decisions that you don't agree with. It is so easy to see the wrong things they do, but you need to uplift them with words celebrating even the small wins, because it goes a long way towards your child's development. Find something to celebrate in each of your children. Something to celebrate. We live in a world where kids are just rejecting their parents' authority and their parents' ideas and morals all over the place. And we need to find something positive to speak to them. And finally, Deborah feels a word of compassion in the middle of her triumph when she writes this song, hey, Jael just, killed this king and all that sort of stuff. In the middle of all that, she spares a few moments' thought for the mother of her enemy, empathizing with her because she knew that as a mother, her enemy's heart, the mother of her enemy, her heart would be breaking. At the end of her big song, she writes this in verse 28, out of the window she peered, the mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? See, this lady's advisors had said to her, oh, look, he's probably taking longer because he's dividing the spoils. But in her heart, Sisera's mother knew that her son was dead. And Deborah, in the midst of her triumph, in the midst of her saying, praise the Lord, we won the battle, the people are saved, all the bad guys are dead, all this sort of stuff. In the middle of that, she spares a thought for the mother who is waiting in vain for her son to come back from battle. Can I tell you, mothers, ladies, your superpower is love and compassion. Never lose that. You need to show unconditional love to your children, towards your partner, towards even those who hurt you. How hard is it to love people who hurt you? It's difficult, isn't it? But the mood in our society is pretty much permanent outrage. If you get on Facebook, which I do from time to time, I'm amazed at how outraged everybody is about everything. Is that right? People are so upset with stuff that doesn't even affect them, but they're constantly outraged. We live in a society that is constantly, constantly outraged. And I believe that this permanent outrage, it even seeps into us sometimes. And sometimes, mums, you can just get outraged and upset about everything. But listen, you cannot hate people into the kingdom of God. You can only love them in. So as outraged as you might be at some people's behavior, you need to keep loving them. If your child does something, or someone you love does something that you disagree with, you've got to keep on loving them. Everybody say, keep on loving. Say it. You've got to keep on loving them Because if you don't love them, you will reject them. There will be a rift between you and this person. And if it's your children, I've seen these rifts last for decades because the child made a lifestyle decision that the parent didn't agree with, so they were rejected. We have to be tolerant of people, but intolerant of bad ideas. Can I make that distinction? Do you get it? So some of the ideas running around at the moment, I think, are bad ideas. Abortion, transgenderism, gay marriage, I think they're all bad ideas. I think they're ungodly, bad ideas. So I have to be intolerant of those ideas, but I must remain tolerant to the people, even the people doing those things. You can love someone but not agree with them. This world says, if you love me, you'll let me do what I want. You'll agree with me. That's not true. We had one of our foster girls. She called us up one day and she said, I've decided to become a boy. And I said, well, you better sit down and watch an action movie with me and some football or something, you know. But she said, no, I've decided to become a boy. Do you love me? Do you agree with my decision? And I said, yes and no. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, I love you. I will always love you. You will always be welcome in my home. I will never reject you. But I think your decision is ridiculous and foolish. So I can love you but not love the decisions you make. And some of you mums need to learn that if your kids make decisions you don't agree with, keep loving the kids. By loving them, you're not agreeing with what they're doing. You're just loving them. So if they make foolish decisions and their world falls apart, they always have a place to come. They can always come home because they know you love them unconditionally. Honestly, if you look around, you need to love your kids, not necessarily what they do. And don't be outraged all the time. Be outreaching. Don't be outraged. Be outreaching. So that's the tale of two mothers. One was blessed, the other suffered loss. One was triumphant, the other lost everything that mattered to them. One followed the Lord, the other pined away, hoping in vain. The only way to truly bring your children up to be a success in life is to bring them to Jesus Christ. Deborah knew that she could hear the word of God and pass that on to her nation and to her family. She could relay it, encourage it, praise with it, and show compassion with it. And you might be saying, you know, I'm not sure I can do all those things. Here's the good news. If you come to Jesus Christ, you don't have to do those things. He gives you the power to do those things. You might say, my child has been so badly behaved, I can't love them anymore. Yes, you can. You can love them unconditionally by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. It's not something you have to do. It's something you have to give to Him and allow Him to do through you. I remember the story of Corrie ten Boom. She was in the Holocaust. She was in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister died there. Her father died in the camps. And afterwards, years later, she was in Munich. She was speaking to a group of people there. And a guy came up to her. He said, do you recognize me? She said, no. He said, I was one of the guards in Ravensbrück concentration camp when you were there. And she looked at him and she felt hatred just rise up inside of her. Her whole life, her whole family had been destroyed by this man. He said, will you please forgive me? I'm a Christian now. Will you please forgive me? He stuck out his hand. And everything within her, she did not want to touch that hand. But then she said, Lord, I've got to give it to you. And the love of God flooded through her. And she shook his hand and she gave him a hug. And she said, of course, you're forgiven, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the power of forgiveness that you can have towards your children if they're estranged right now. Because God's love can flow through you. So you can try your best or you can come to the best. Sometimes we try our best to be kind to people and to love people and it gets thrown back in our face and you feel like you can't go on anymore. You can try your best, but why don't you just come to the best and let His best flow through you? As Moses told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 30, he said this, the people of Israel were in the land. This was kind of like pretty near his parting words. He said this, I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And then he said this, now choose life that both you and your offspring might live. And that's the choice you face today, mums. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose to speak life or you can choose to speak death. But what he's saying here, what Moses said there, is choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Because if you give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, if you come to him and say, Lord, work through me, then your children will respond to that. Then their children will, and their children, and right down the line. And you can have generations of people in heaven because you made the right decision. Because you said, yes, Lord. But if you say, no, Lord, if you say, I want to reject you, I don't want anything to do with you, I want to live my life my way, then your kids will have the same. And their kids will have the same. And so you'll have generations in hell because you said no. It comes down to the decision you make. Life, death, blessings, cursings. And in case you can't figure it out, he says, now choose life. That both you and your children and their children and their children might live. See, coming to Christ is coming to life. He promises life and life to the full. Deborah shows us that you can be a mother, a leader, a fighter, a victor, and a carer all at the same time. So today, I want to pray for every mother in the room first. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus or you don't have a strong relationship with Jesus, I cannot let this opportunity go past. I'm telling you, the greatest mothers I have ever met have all been Christians because they believe in the power of God to flow through them to their children. And if you want the best for your life and your children, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Some of you aren't mothers yet, but you've got mothers. Some of you, your mothers look at you and you know that you've disappointed them. You know you've let them down. You know that maybe you've walked away from Christ when you had the opportunity to respond and you said, no, I'm going to do my own thing. This is the moment, the opportunity you have to choose life. We're not here trying to say that we know everything. We're just saying we choose life. We choose life or death. That's not a hard choice. And it's a choice you face this morning. So why don't you bow your heads? Everybody bow your heads. Close your eyes. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never asked Jesus into your life before, then this is the moment that you have the opportunity to ask him into your life as your Lord and your Savior. And if not for yourself, do it for your children. Do it for your future children. Some of you have rejected Christ. You've walked away. This is the moment you can come back. All the things that you've done, all the things you've said can be forgiven. You can come back right now when you choose life. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, this is the moment when you can do it. This will change everything. And if you have asked him into your life in the past, but you've wandered away, this is the moment you come back. It's the moment that you can say, Lord, I re-give my life to you. I give it to you again because I want to live a life that is full of life, not death, that is full of blessings, not cursings. I want my children and their children and their children to go to heaven with me so that together we can rejoice and praise you for all eternity. I don't want to send my kids to hell because that's what happens when you reject Christ. It flows down through the generation. So this is your moment. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, or maybe you have in the past and you've wandered away, I'm going to lead you in a prayer now. It's a simple prayer, just yielding our life to Jesus and saying, Lord, come into my life. So pray this prayer with me, just as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned, but right now, Lord, I turn away from my sin and I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and let me live a life that brings you joy and blesses my descendants for all eternity.